The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Come to you from Curtis Subaru Studio. Welcome to The Big Show. A sunny Wednesday afternoon. Very busy. We are keeping an eye on Kenosha, Wisconsin, where it is day two of deliberations in the Kyle Rittenhouse trial. The jury has asked a few questions this morning, and now they are back to deliberations. If they come back with a verdict, of course, you will hear it live right here on the Dory Monson Show. I get really angry at some of the things that I see around this region. It is time for more of us to get angry at what our politicians have done to what was once a great city. And someday, when we come to our senses, we'll be, again, a great city. But sadly, Seattle, King County, Western Washington, not great right now, because we have elected people who are active participants and enablers in the destruction of what's happening. And there's a story going on in Ballard right now that is emblematic of everything that I'm talking about here. Let's get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. I sense a Dory rant coming on.
On Leary Way in Ballard, as you know, I grew up on the mean streets of Ballard. On Leary Way, there are a couple of unbelievable situations. One is a double-decker RV. An old Winnebago where people have taken 2x4s and plywoods and they've built a second floor on that. It's a recording studio, they say. I'm sure the sound quality is like Dolby. And then not far from that, there is a guy they call the Lawnmower Man. The Lawnmower Man has about 20 lawnmowers lining the sidewalk. My guess is that they're all stolen. Don't know that for sure, but that's my guess. And then next to it is a white panel van. And then right behind the white panel van, he has built two ramshackle sheds on the parking strip between the sidewalk and the street. And this guy is an absolute menace. His name is Charles Woodward. He has grinders where he's making noise in the middle of the night. He has a generator that's very loud. And there are people who live right next to where this guy has set up. And it is insane that the city hasn't done anything about this, that they continue to let problems like this linger. At Channel 4, Jonathan Cho, great reporter there, he's been killing it on this story. He's been covering it. And some of the stuff he encountered yesterday in trying to cover this story were just simply unbelievable. In front of the television crew, the Lawnmower Man was yelling at another man.
Get the f*** out of here. You're harassing me. Get the f*** out of here. I got witnesses. Get the f*** out of here. Don't touch me. Don't touch me.
Quit leaning.
No, you got to get the f*** out of here.
Stop
it. No! Get the out of here! Don't you harass me, you're not hearing me! Do I need to yell louder, bitch? I don't give a you're right, it is. I got witnesses. It's all I'm filming, you stupid the out of here. Okay. Don't follow me.
And then reporter Jonathan Cho tried to talk to the man.
Are you stupid enough? Do you want a problem? Is that what you want?
Don't come near us, Charles.
What's your first name?
You ain't gonna touch me.
No, listen. What's your first name? Sir.
Leave. Now.
Sir.
Leave. I'm telling you to leave now. If you air any of it, I'll have your ass. I'll lawsuit your ass. Come back on this sidewalk, I'll lawsuit all of you.
It's public property, sir.
Not anymore, it isn't. Not to people who are harassing me.
Who owns the
sidewalk? It is off limits to you. Understand? You come on, that's lawsuit. I've done lawsuits. You want?
Sir,
I want you to get the f*** out of here. I'm not playing your f***ing rules, motherfucker.
I wanted to introduce myself.
I don't want you to introduce yourself. You're out here f***ing with the homeless people. You're going to get the f*** out of here. F*** you not.
Charles, we just want your side of the story.
F*** you. Shut the f*** up. We ain't talking to you.
I
You don't want anybody trying to destroy you. You proved that the last time you were here. Stupid.
So as you heard, this man declared that he owns the sidewalk now, the public sidewalk, and he's threatening people who come on the sidewalk that he has claimed. This is another version of Chaz Chop, where people took over the city with impunity. Does anybody think this is going to end well? Here's a shortcut with Jonathan.
Are you stupid enough? Do you want a problem? Is that what you want?
Don't come near us, Charles.
What's your first name?
You ain't gonna touch me. I want you to get the out of here. Because I'm not playing your rules, motherfucker.
Okay, Kelly Davidson's a neighbor, and she says they just have asked this guy nicely to try to keep the noise down.
Doesn't seem to care. In fact, has threatened my neighbors.
And Sean Telford is another one of those neighbors, and they have contacted the city, the useless Dan Strauss, the Ballard city councilman who doesn't do anything, who couldn't care less about these issues. These neighbors have tried and tried and tried.
We're kind of stuck right now in this situation. The Hope team said there's nothing they can do. If Charles doesn't want services, they can't force him to take it.
Yeah, and by the way, the outreach team reached out to the lawnmower man several days ago and offered him housing. And he turned it down. He refused it because he said he didn't want to be with the other crazy people. So this guy has made this his lifestyle of choice. And this neighbor, Sean, he sounds like a good-hearted man whose compassion is just worn all the way down to the nub.
The selective enforcement of our rules around here is really wearing down the compassion that we have for this issue.
Yes. I certainly believe it would wear down one's compassion. And so now neighbors are trying to get a restraining order.
We're planning to go to court.
Because they've called the mayor's office. They've called worthless Dan Strauss's office. They've tried compassion with this guy. I heard that one neighbor even did his taxes for him last year. They've tried everything. Now, if you or I built a shed on our property, you and I, hardworking, taxpaying people, if we built a shed on our property that wasn't permitted, if it's over a certain size, the cities, our respective cities, would come and make us tear it down. But a guy like this can build two sheds on a parking strip illegally between a sidewalk and the street. If the taxpaying, law-abiding homeowners who live right on the other side of that sidewalk, if they did the exact same thing, the city would come and fine them. And this is insane. And it cannot go on any longer. What our city needs to do, we need somebody with some guts. And I'm not sure Bruce Harrell, the mayor-elect, is that guy. But the guy's van has been parked there for more than 72 hours. That's a violation. They should go tow away the van. They should tear down the two sheds. They should compound or impound all the lawnmowers this guy has lined up on the sidewalk. See if they can return them to their rightful owners. They should take that van and put it in a hydraulic press and compress it down to the size of dice. And they got to tell the guy, you either can get help from us or you're going to jail or you got to get out of town. Those are the only options. But we have enabled and enabled and enabled this for far too long. Hey, Nicole, let me ask you real quick. Do you have the cut where Jonathan tells the guy that we know the city offered you housing? Do you have that cut?
No.
Sorry. Okay. Please pull that one, too, because very telling. They offered this guy a place where he could go and get help and get a roof over his head and get meals. And he said, no, he doesn't want that. He would rather terrorize this neighborhood. And it has to stop. It has stopped now. I talked with the cop in the city where I live. He just swung by for a visit while on patrol last night. And we have people like this come out to our suburban city. And the message is clear. If you go 40 blocks south, that's 145th, and then you're in Seattle. And you can go and do whatever you want. But we do not tolerate that in our city. Because our city, like so many suburban cities, still has a tiny shred of common sense. And so we don't allow this. It is not that we are helpless against this kind of stuff. It is that you have elected, if you live in Seattle, I don't have a vote in Seattle. Seattleites have elected horrible people. And I know that that's a stretch to go from people who are doing horrible acts to calling them horrible people. But if you choose with your inaction or by plan and design, because you want to be an active participant in the destruction of the city and the region. Either way, if you choose by inaction or by design to create this problem, then you don't care about all of these innocent, hardworking, taxpaying people. A lot of those neighbors live in rental houses, and they're going to get out as quick as they can. If you choose as a politician to make so many people's lives miserable, then you're not a good person. And that's pretty much the entire Seattle City Council. It certainly is Ballard's Dan Strauss. This is going beyond, you might be a good person, but your actions are bad. Now, if you inflict this on all of these people, you're not a good person. And so here's my fear, is that whether it's in Seattle or anywhere, you can hear my voice, because this problem is spreading throughout, you know, certainly King County with legalized drugs, but throughout all of Western Washington. People are going to start taking the law into their own hands. I am not advocating that. I'm just predicting the future, because we're not going to live like this much longer. My wife and I went into Ballard just last night, took the North Gate exit, and there's a gigantic homeless encampment. And at the bottom of the off ramp is a gas station with a convenience store. Now, I'm not sure if that's the one, but two nights ago at a convenience store in the Northgate neighborhood, a guy was walking in, and the clerk said, "Hey, you got to put a mask on." So the guy stabbed the clerk in the chest and in the abdomen. I would bet anything that that guy came from that gigantic homeless encampment that's right next to the off-ramp there. People are getting stabbed. People are getting killed. Homeowners are at the end of their rope. And it has to stop. And what it's going to take, if the politicians won't do it, it's going to take a civil rise up by citizens. And again, that doesn't mean violence, but it means a rise up against the politicians. People are going to start defending themselves against all of this. Here's when Jonathan Cho asked the lawnmower man about the being offered housing himself.
We heard the Hope Team came and offered you housing.
What kind of housing? What, with other crazy people? What, are you stupid? I'm not stupid enough to live next to an apartment with people shooting people. Get the out of here, man. Their programs suck. And I'm not against housing.
So if someone comes out to offer you housing, you're going to take it?
No.
Why not?
I'm going to look it over, and then I'm going to think about it, dummy.
So this guy does not need to be on the streets. And what has to happen is, like I've said, the housing offer should always be first. Then it should be either jail, because they're breaking laws. We should have more involuntary commitment of people who are mentally unstable. And we should say, you can't do this in our city, and move them along. Dan Strauss, what is Dan Strauss, Ballard City Councilman, doing? He never returns these people's calls. He just watches the destruction of the neighborhood in which I grew up. It was a lovely place before these guys all got a hold of it. Oh, man. By the way, one one nice thing to say about my excursion into Ballard last night. This is an unpaid endorsement. Do yourself a favor. Get yourself a piece of carrot cake at Larson's Bakery. Oh, my goodness gracious. One slice is going to last me 3 days. But, oh, carrot cake at Larson's Bakery in Ballard. Thank me later. You know what else was cool about it? The young woman working behind the counter, she looked like she was maybe early 20s. She was wearing an Ollie Frazier T-shirt. I told her how cool her shirt was, too. So, see, I can see good things amidst all the... I can see the roses amidst the thorns. I keep my eyes out for all of that. The reporter who got all that audio, Jonathan Cho at Channel 4, ComoNews.com, he will join me right after the news here at the bottom of the hour, and we'll talk about his experience. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead Update.
We led with a story yesterday that I was a little bit nervous about because it sounded so crazy as to be impossible. But our friend Katie Davis Court, who comes on our show all the time, independent journalist, citizen journalist, Katie reported that the King County Elections Canvassing Board met, and it still sounds so crazy, I can't say it without laughing. And somebody on the board asked the director of King County Elections, if somebody writes their vote on a napkin and sends it in, would we accept that? Would we count that? And I was absolutely stunned by the answer.
So even if someone took a napkin and just wrote the office or the race and then their selection, that would be...
That would be enough and we would count that as a vote.
Okay.
That would be enough, and we would count that as a vote if somebody writes their vote on a napkin. And I was nervous about the story, even though I trust Katie, who was reporting it. But I thought, no, this is too crazy. This, for Seattle and King County, even, this is way too crazy. No, it's not. We have confirmed. In fact, a little later this afternoon, I will talk with our outgoing Secretary of State, Kim Wyman, because... How can we trust elections if people can write their vote on a napkin and send that in? How can we trust elections then? And my point is, I don't think we can these days. We're living in crazy, crazy times. That is your Big Lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
The... reporter who got all that audio that we just played for you in the Big Lead, Jonathan Cho, Channel 4, ComoNews.com. He will join me because I have to tell you, I was watching those videos. I was nervous for him and his crew because this guy seemed so unhinged. We will talk with him about it coming up next as we get rolling here on the Dory Monson Show. As we told you in the Big Lead, Ballard residents have just absolutely had it with this guy. He's living in an RV. He's got a bunch of lawnmowers lined up on the sidewalk. And he now claims that he owns the sidewalk, a public sidewalk. And the great coverage of this story. I'm a big fan of this guy. He's coming on my show for the first time. Jonathan Cho, reporter over at Channel 4. You can see all his work at ComoNews.com. Jonathan, pleasure to finally have you on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Dory. It is a pleasure.
Tell me about this Ballard guy that they call the Lawnmower Man.
Well, he is definitely not affectionately called the Lawnmower Man because of all the great work he's doing with his lawnmowers. He's actually selling more than 20 lawnmowers, but he's pretty much occupied the entire corner of 8th Avenue Northwest and 49th Street in Ballard. And along with the lawnmowers, he has two wooden sheds. He's built, he has a workbench where he has saws, he has metal grinders, and he has three vehicles. And just to clarify, he's not necessarily living in an RV. It's a van that he has. And he also goes back and forth between his shed and the three vehicles he has out there. But it's really become a nuisance. It's this makeshift encampment. Neighbors are complaining about noise all hours of the day. We have loud music blaring. We have the metal grinding. We have all kinds of arguments and yelling allegedly coming from this encampment. And I saw it firsthand. I visited this site myself after hearing the complaints from neighbors more than three times now.
Oh, yeah.
Up in Ballard, it seems like every single week, and I just could not believe what I was seeing. And I finally went up to Charles Woodward, the gentleman who owns all this stuff, and I asked him what's going on. And, you know, he was really belligerent and aggressive and did not want to talk to us at all. And you saw that in my coverage yesterday.
Yeah, well, with each subsequent visit by you, it just seemed to get amped up more and more. So here's just a little clip of your third encounter with the guy.
Are you stupid enough? Do you want a problem? Is that what you want?
Don't come near us, Charles.
What's your first name?
You ain't going to touch me. I want you to get the out of here. I'm not playing your rules, motherfucker.
I wanted to introduce myself.
I don't want you to introduce yourself.
Okay, now as I'm watching that, Jonathan, when you put it up on Twitter yesterday, I was a little nervous for you because the guy seemed like he was just a tick away from getting physically violent with you guys. Did you fear that as you were confronting the guy?
Yeah, I have to be honest. There was concern, but we did our best to keep our distance. We also had a security guard with us, so we were fine. And just to be, you know, fair, you know, the neighbors in that area who live near Charles Woodward, they have tried so many times to negotiate with him. And they say when he's not, you know, going ballistic, he's a decent guy. So clearly, it is without a doubt, there's some type of mental illness going on with this guy. But at the same time, I mean, the charity, the grace, the patience offered by the neighbors to negotiate with Charles, who's actually lived there now, according to these neighbors, for more than a year, actually several years. One neighbor, and you're not going to believe this, actually did his taxes for him. One neighbor offered to buy him property, you know, away from Seattle, so he just leaves the neighborhood. Another neighbor pitched in to buy a $500 generator so it would be more quiet, a better quality generator.
Oh,
so
my
they
goodness.
Tried with Charles, and it just has not worked, and he refuses to leave.
There's a fine line between compassion and enabling. And if he's making life hell for these people, and it certainly sounds like he is, I don't know why they would do all of these things to make it easier for him to stay where he is.
Well, Dory, it's because the city is not doing anything about it. These neighbors feel like they have to take matters into their own hands and do it themselves. Neighbors have reached out to pretty much every city agency that would go out there, from the Hope Team to SDOT, even SPD, but they can't do anything about this guy. And it's so frustrating to neighbors right now, especially the lack of enforcement. At the very least, you know, enforce the 72-hour rule. If a car sits idle on the street, that's back in play. But they're not even doing that. In fact, I've personally reached out to all of these city agencies. I've reached out to Mayor Durkin's office, Councilmember Dan Strauss, Ballard. And again, they all either ignore me or just give me canned responses. And SDOT's response was classic, because I've been covering another story on that same street regarding the double-decker RV, the homeless fellows who keep on building up, up, and up this homeless music recording studio. And SDOT pretty much says, oh, we've never encountered anything like this. Let me get back to you. I have all of these responses in my emails.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is, if I'm a reporter, I'm supposed to be getting answers. Imagine the residents. They can't get any answers. It's really frustrating.
Dan Strauss is one of the most useless city council members I've ever seen. But you're right. All they have to do is enforce existing law. You mentioned that behind his panel van, he has a couple of sheds on the parking strip there, which is city right-of-way. If you or I, Jonathan, built an unauthorized shed in our backyards and our respective cities found out about it without a permit, if it's a certain size, they'd make us tear them down. But somebody like this can do something that is totally illegal. And I think that's the other thing that is so frustrating for people, is this tremendous double standard of laws that are enforced against the taxpaying, law-abiding people, and that are completely ignored by the people who are creating 99% of the problems around here.
Well, Dory, you hit it right on the head, and it's actually a perfect segue into my follow-up on Lawnmower Man. I have several landlords who are in that area who live across the street from Lawnmower Man. One landlord says SDOT tried to fine him for having these objects next to his house, not knowing they actually belong to Lawnmower Man. So that is the type of double standard that I want to spotlight, show, and say, come on, guys, this is irrational. It seems like everything is backwards in Seattle. It's upside down. When is this going to change? I don't know. We have to keep spotlighting the story.
Yeah, we're fully in bizarro world. I grew up in Ballard, Jonathan, and it was a sweet, bucolic place when I was a kid. And we have public officials now that not only tolerate this, but they encourage it, they enable it. The legalization of drugs is one huge factor in the degradation of our city. At what point are these neighbors who you've talked to, and I noted one guy who seemed, just in the clip you played, very kind-hearted, and he said, but our compassion is starting to get worn down by all of this. He wants to be compassionate. At what point do the neighbors just say, look, we've been abandoned by our political leaders? When do they just go and tow away that van and tear down those sheds?
Yeah, look, I'm not condoning any vigilante justice here. Look,
no, I'm not asking you to condone it. I'm just asking when it's going to happen.
I don't know. I don't want to get to that point. I still believe in at the end of the day that Seattle is compassionate and has, the people are good folks. But at the same time, you're right. At some point, like that neighbor said, all of this, patience, the compassion for the homeless crisis, at some point, people are going to snap. I don't know when that point is going to come. But yes, some neighbors are mobilizing right now. They are trying to get a restraining order. They are trying to go to the King County courts to, at the very least, keep this guy away from them. And they're hoping that type of legal means, and they're really frustrated because they're wondering what else they have left, but they're hoping that will maybe bring them some relief.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm not advocating vigilantism either, but I am predicting it. You know, not necessarily in this case, but the more people feel like they have been completely abandoned by their government, the more they are going to feel a necessity to take care of things themselves. And when that happens, then all hell breaks loose. And you know, I know you and I, and nobody wants to see that happen, but it's the inevitable consequence of complete, total inaction by political leaders.
Well, I can tell you more people in that area, anecdotally, they're taking self-defense courses. They're arming themselves with, weapons. And, you know, they have every right to, because, you know, they don't know when the police are going to come because, you know, as we know, SPD's outgunned. They don't have the bodies right now.
Right.
It's not their fault. You know, people are leaving the agency because of, you know, city leaders and city policies. So, again, I really do believe, though, the neighbors are telling me what sliver of hope they have in Seattle, especially for their neighborhood. They're waiting for the new regime, you know, Mayor-elect Bruce Harrell to take over, Councilmember Sarah Nelson to take over, and they're just hoping that the new leadership at least brings some type of normalcy again, the sanity back to Seattle, and at the very least, like you said, Dory, start enforcing the laws already on the books.
Yep, that's all we're asking. All right, well, Jonathan, man, I really love your work. It's great to finally talk with you, and appreciate you taking the time this afternoon.
Hey, thanks, Dory, for everything you do as well. Take care.
You bet. Okay, Jonathan Cho, journalist, reporter at Channel 4, ComoNews.com, where you can see all of his work. Love to get your thoughts. You can text me at 888-973-CHIRO, 888-973-5476. Lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. Oh, my goodness. I have a story for you that I'm going to lead the fastest 15 with that shows you how many people in local media, and look, I got a lot of respect, you know, like Jonathan, who I just talked to, and we've got some great reporters, but we got some media that ignore stories that hurt the people they like. And I have a story about a Congress member here in the Puget Sound area that is being completely ignored by everybody in the media except the Dory Monson Show. It shouldn't be an exclusive, but it will be. Leading off the fastest 15. And I'll give you some more examples of stuff like that. Excuse me. We have brand new polling out for President Biden, and it is absolutely shocking. For the first time, more Americans believe he is unfit to be in office than think he is fit to be president. I mean, that is unbelievable. 48% say that Joe Biden is unfit to be president mentally. And only 40% believe he's in good health. That came out last night. And it was an organization, Politico, Morning Consult. They're polling outfits that are quoted constantly on all the network morning news shows. Do you know how much time CBS This Morning, The Today Show, and Good Morning America spent combined on the story that Americans now believe their president is not mentally competent to be president? Zero. Every network morning news show, news, quotation marks, ignored the story that for the first time in history, more Americans believe their president is mentally incompetent than believe he is mentally competent. That is a shocking story. And I told you yesterday when he was talking about his infrastructure bill and getting to fires. And then I have some new audio for you as well. But here's what Joe Biden said yesterday.
Conversations around those kitchen tables that are both profound as they are ordinary. How do I cross a bridge in a snowstorm? What happened? No, I think about it. You know, you're in a situation. What happens if the bridge collapses and there's a fire on the other side? It's going to take 10 miles longer to get to the fire. People can die. I mean, this is real. This is real stuff.
How real is it? Well, Joe, it turns out, had a personal experience with a house burning down. You're going to be shocked. You've never heard about this. But he has personal experience with his house burning down with his wife inside of it.
Without this bridge, as I said earlier, it's a 10-mile detour just to get to the other side. And I know, haven't had a house burned down with my wife in it. She got out safely, God willing. But having a significant portion of it burned, I can tell 10 minutes makes a hell of a difference.
He had a house, first says he had a house burned down with his wife inside of it. Then he says she got out, God willing, which is usually a phrase people use for a future event. They hope that God's will impact something. For a past event, you might say, thank God. But then people checked out and said, when did Joe Biden's house burn down with his wife inside? And she got out, and he said it was a significant fire. It turns out about 15 years ago, they had a small kitchen fire in their house. There was minimal damage, and it was all taken care of within 10 minutes. So he didn't have a house burned down. But this is the guy who had to bow out of his first presidential race for plagiarism. It's a guy who, you know, has told stories about corn pop and kids rubbing his leg hairs. It's a guy who claims that he's ridden so many miles on Amtrak that he can't keep count, even though that story's a lie that he tells over and over again. And then this. And they're making plans, according to all the rumors on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. They may be beginning to get rid of Kamala Harris as vice president. I have some audio to back that up as well. So we will check the news for you. And then the story nobody else in the local media will cover leads the Fastest 15 coming up next.